Would you accept a job if it meant your life expectancy was on average 6 weeks? Pippa Latour did. The Last Secret Agent is the book we'll talk about now, out in time for Anzac Day, by Pippa Latour, as she told her story to broadcaster and now writer Jude Dobson. Pippa chose Jude to tell her story to tell it for the first time, and they formed a close bond before Pippa's death last year at the age of 102. She had lived in anonymity, raising her children in South Auckland since 1959. Phyllis Latour, known in France as Paulette, and she had other aliases. One of them was Miss Lampooner, that's what the Americans called her, and Pippa was how everyone in New Zealand knew her. She was highly decorated, the last remaining female member of F Section, the branch of the Special Operations Executive in the Second World War that organised resistance operations in France. She was parachuted into Normandy ahead of D-Day. She would call the Allied bombers in to attack German positions using hidden wireless sets. And the women and men also cut railway lines and telegraph cables, forcing the Germans, for example, to send their high-grade teleprinter messages between Hitler and the German frontline commander, Rommel, forced the Germans to send those messages over the airwaves, allowing them to be deciphered at Bletchley Park. Many of the men and women were caught, tortured, and executed, and Pippa very nearly was. I should mention there is some dark detail that we'll discuss. Jude has been researching, writing, producing, and directing stories about our involvement in both world wars for a number of years now. Jude Dobson, kia ora, Jude. We're speaking to you long distance this morning, actually.
You are at the moment. I'm in the US of A, where a couple of my kids live. So if I get the chance to come here, I do. And I'm here at the moment.
You've carved out a niche, I assume based on a real enthusiasm, a niche of unearthing our war histories and being interested in them. How did that start?
Interesting question, and I probably think, when I think about it, the answer was actually my dear papa's passing in 2018. He got his wings the day the war ended, which was a bit good, really, because otherwise I may not have been here. But I think after his passing, I really reflected on that generation, and I had done a documentary. I used to be living at Ahakia with my husband back in the day when we had Skyhawks, and spent my early years there, and we'd gone to see a friend's son graduate on the Wings course. So I pitched a doco idea about New Zealand's Air Force then and now. I found 9 veterans who were still alive. They've passed now. This is in 2019, 2020. And I started talking to these old Spitfire pilots and Lank pilots. And yeah, you know, I thought of my dad, actually. And I just thought that generation are pretty special. And I thought, well, here's my chance to talk to them. And I actually really love old people, Jim. I think people look at them and they're old and wrinkly, and they may not hear very well, but, you know, they were all young people once, and particularly that generation. They did some pretty extraordinary things, and I guess I just wanted to shine a light on it.
Yeah, yeah. Young people full of cleverness and brave and full of fire. Yeah, exactly. Understood.
How did your
relationship with Pippa Latour begin, though?
Well, it actually came off the back of that Air Force documentary, actually, because I got hold of Peter Wheeler, who was the CEO of Bomber Command. I said, "Where are all these chaps?" And he said, "You don't want a woman, do you?" I said, "Oh, yes, but I don't think I think the Spitfire delivery pilots were women weren't here." And he said, no, but come and meet Pippa. But Pippa wouldn't want to speak to me anyway. She didn't want to speak to anybody. So I met her and asked her if she would ever tell her story. And she said, nope, it's just going to die with me. It's no one's business, my war. So, yeah, then I popped along and met her a couple of other times with Peter. And then I don't know whether life was catching up with her. But she ended up deciding that she would like to tell her story.
And no one knew her story, at least people close to her even. They didn't know. Mm. She never told her husband.
No.
This is all in your book. So everything I'm telling you, you already know.
Yes, yes.
But one
yes,
of,
I do.
One of her sons did detective work online, and then she had to spill some of the beans, yeah?
She did. She'd already told her family and her former husband that she was a balloon operator, which was not incorrect. She just didn't and what she did after that. And yeah, it wasn't until the early 2000s that her son found out he was living in Australia and got hold of the other son living in New Zealand and said, "Oh gosh, my friend's found something out about our mother. I think it's, well, I'm not sure. I hope she's not in trouble. They seem to be saying something about the fact that she was a spy in the war." So, he flew over and they, well, confronted is the wrong word, but they spoke to their mother and she said, "Yes, that's me."
That's me.
That's me.
There's
That's what I did.
a big difference between being a balloon operator and
Yes.
parachuting out of a balloon at about 600 meters, isn't it? That's
Yes. Yeah. Or into enemy occupied France, well, pretty spooky stuff, really.
she was. There are photos in your book. She was such an attractive, vivacious woman, too.
Yes. Yeah.
You picture her walking into a room and heads turning. She was one
Yeah.
of those full of personality, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I actually really loved talking to her. To start with, I thought she might be quite frosty because she never really wanted to talk. But then when she decided she would, it was actually, I sort of a little weekly date, and it was a nice thing. I'd take out my cheese scone. She lived in a fairly remote place with no internet, no phone, and she'd always say, "No, don't bring food," but then she'd always eat it. So she'd have a sippy cup of her milk coffee and have the scones, but she was a straight shooter, Jim. But she was actually quite patient and lovely. I mean, she was extremely patient with me. When I listened back to some of my early interviews with her, I thought she must have really thought, "What has she got here?" I mean, I remember the one when I when she was talking about dropping in, and she said they'd done a pass, and the fog was. Starting ground fog was starting to swirl around, and they said, "Right, Miss Lampoon," it was American crew, "Miss Lampoon, we're gonna drop you in this paddock here because we can see white blobs." So obviously there's livestock in there, and I said to her, "Why would you want to be dropped in with livestock?" And she just a steely eye, but very sweet, just looked at me and she said, "Because there'd be no mines in that paddock." And I went, "Ah, yes."
And that name, Lampoon, that was her code name, wasn't it, when they took her
Yeah,
across to
yeah.
France? Yeah.
Yep,
So why did she keep it secret all those years? Why didn't she ever want to tell people the extraordinary things she did?
I think, well, I actually think she had PTSD. She didn't really want to talk about the war. The things, I think in our first interview, she said to me, "War wasn't pretty, and why would I want to talk about it or remember it?" She had quite a few nightmares. I think she figured she'd just move on with her life, and then I think she got a little bit frustrated because other people started to speak, and one of her favourite words was poppycock. She'd listen to people tell stories, and she'd go, "Oh, that's poppycock. Oh, that's poppycock." So I think finally she wanted to sort of set the record straight a bit. But she was a remarkable woman. I mean, I'm just sitting picturing her now as I talk to you, Jim. I feel completely. What's the word? Honoured that she spoke, to be fair. But man, it was a job. It was quite a big job. Yeah.
Well, you've prized the past open and got so much out of it. Pippa Latour with Jude Dobson is the book, The Last Secret Agent, The Untold Story of My Life as a Spy Behind Nazi Enemy Lines. In the foreword of your book, women have a greater capacity for cool and lonely courage than men. Unquote. She fought a war inside a war, that phrase is in the book. She never knew who she could trust. She at any point could have been tortured and shot. She came very close. Some of the other women doing what she did died horrible deaths. They were not covered by the Geneva Convention on War. Unbelievable. So can we just backtrack briefly? I know there's a lot of it in your book, but Pippa was South African originally with a French dad.
Yes, and a British mother, and she arrived on the gangplank in Durban, and there was a bit of an argument as to what her nationality would be. But yes, she was born there, and I actually think, Jim, her childhood in the Belgian Congo really set her up for this job. It was a nomadic sort of lifestyle as a doctor, and some days they wouldn't eat, some days they would. Sleep was all over the show, and she picked up languages like a sponge. She was Flemish, French, Swahili. Didn't learn English till she was 12, so I think that set her up, and she learned to shoot a gun at 7, and Morse code, loved Morse code, maths, algebra, She didn't have many friends because she was a bit nomadic with that arrangement. And then she'd go and play with the monkeys and swing in the vines. And so by the time she did rope climbing in SOE training, they said, "Wow, you're pretty good at that." And she went, "Yeah, no, I did that with the monkeys in Africa," which I'm not sure many people would probably be able to say.
Her dad is killed in a local uprising, and as she, her mother dies early. So, how did she get back to Europe, to cut the long story short?
Oh, well, she had six godmothers and they just kept popping up at different times. And that's one of the takeaways, actually. She always had an adult on her side. And so a godmother was running a finishing school in Paris. And so she spent some time there. And that's where she polished up her French and also gave her the will to do the job she did because her godmother, who ran that school, suicided when the Germans invaded France and asked her to teach French to the wives. And she said no, and she killed herself. So she was fairly motivated at that point.
Yeah, she was motivated. She seems well connected. She always knew somebody who knew somebody. As when she joined the Admiralty looking after naval records in Scotland, she gets to know many of the young men on the battle cruiser Hood, who died when it went into battle with the Bismarck. And this also stirred something inside Pippa. What did she do then?
She went and signed up with the WAF, so she changed services and did the balloon operating bit for a while. And then after that, they picked her up. They realized she had languages and went, "Oh, we've got a job for you."
What a job.
Yeah,
So
what a job. She volunteered for that job.
for that job. A brave young woman, super smart, athletic, excellent range of skills, as you're saying, good at maths, which she needed to be.
Yeah, one in three of those women didn't come back. And as you mentioned earlier, they had pretty brutal endings. Yeah, she got through a few things unscathed when she shouldn't have really. And she struck me sometimes as quite I said to her, were you scared? She goes, "Oh yes, like a base level of fear, but nope, you just sort of got to face it and keep going."
Yeah.
Fairly pragmatic woman.
What was she precisely being asked to do as they dropped her into enemy territory?
So her job was she was a wireless operator, and unlike a lot of the others who were stationary, she had 17 different sets around about a 100 kilometer area. So her job would be with her Russian courier Katya, they would go around. She was her alias was a 14-year-old girl selling soap as a 23-year-old, and she would report on German positions because she would go and sell them soap because she. They apparently hated their soap. It was like sandpaper. And she had the lovely goat's milk soap. And then she would just report on where they were. And of course, that was a bit of a death sentence. They were buying soap, but selling lives, really. So next day, the bombers would come in. And she sent 135 messages in her time there between May and August. And then she was overrun by the Americans. But even then, getting out to Paris was equally as horrendous. She walked to Paris, took her 2 months to walk to Paris.
She was doing things many of us just wouldn't be able to do, like throwing ropes with anchors on between tall buildings and shimmying across like Spider-Man in slow motion. And when she was practicing jumping out of planes and balloons in the dark from low altitude, she collided with another jumper once and managed
That's
to
right, she did.
survive. So
She did,
at this stage, when they're training her up and they've said, "We're going to send you into France, occupied France," she still wasn't completely sure, even during training, until the end,
No.
really, what she was in for.
They sort of kept them in the dark, really.
The men sent into Normandy just before her had been caught and killed, and they thought that also that a young woman, and she did look very young, would arouse less suspicion, Jude?
Yes, that's right. That's correct. And that's why they liked the women in the end, because forced labour, the men were all heading out the door. So, the Germans will be looking at a new man in the local village going, "Who are you?" But the women sort of managed to fit in.
She used codes to send these messages back to England on the location of, as you say, enemy soldiers and anything of military value. Where did she keep the codes hidden, please? And what was the occasion when this turned into a very fraught moment?
Yes, so they're a piece of silk. And apparently every agent came up with their own system. She took the shoelace and a knitting needle and stuffed them into the shoelace and used the shoelace as a hair tie. And because, of course, that's a very sensible thing to do when there's not much around. You don't have hair ties, you have shoelaces. And she had knitting with her, so that was her alias. She was a 14-year-old girl who sold soap but also had knitting. And she was, she told the story so calmly. They got to a checkpoint one day, and she had got through many of them, but on this particular occasion, she was taken off for questioning, and she was strip searched. And she thought, what am I going to do when they get to my hair? And the Gestapo woman, she describes her so beautifully. She said her face was dripping like honey, but I knew she wasn't sweet. And she put her head upside down. The woman put her, hands all through her head, and she had this, the codes in her hand, hidden on the shoelace. But the woman didn't think to look at that. So she'd right, go. Yeah, she got away a few times, Jim, actually. A few times she got away.
Well, will the Gestapo come into the farmhouse where she lived with her supposed grandmother and grandfather, making the supposed soap on the farm to sell to the
Well,
Germans?
they do make the soap.
They do make the soap, okay.
The soap is real.
The soap was real. And the German man pulls out his gun and they think all is lost, but he just wants to fire the gun into the ceiling to keep them on their toes.
They did that every time they'd leave a property just to make sure nobody was in the ceiling.
Oh, okay.
Hidden on the ceiling, yes. So, and she says funny things like that. Like, she tells me the story of how she managed to hide the pieces of the set in the commode and also made sure there was urine in it at all times so that they would think it is used. But she'd managed to squeeze the parts and underneath. So she emptied the commode pot and they turned it upside down and still didn't find her set pieces. But then as they left, she said, oh, poor grandfather. He just looked, put his hand in his head in his hands and went, oh, there goes my ceiling again. Because I'd been there like 3 times in 3 weeks. So every time there was a couple of rounds in the ceiling
Good
as they
Lord.
left.
All the time, she just could have been shot on sight as soon as they suspected, really. And her comrades are shot. She herself leads an engagement, Jude, where they fire on German troops to keep them busy while others get away.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes. And it was all turning to custard. And she went and got a couple of the young chaps from the local village and told them to fire over their heads to the Germans on the other side, to basically give them a fright and think that there was more to it than just a couple of teenagers and her. It worked. She was smart. She was a smart woman.
And she
Had her wits about her.
and she witnesses a terrible mass execution, actually, and that's not the only horror she
Yeah,
encountered.
well, that's right. They would just pick up people in villages and just drive them out and shoot half a dozen of them. Yes, she found that she found it disturbing, and that she sadly said, sadly for her, I'm not, well, just a reflection that she said sometimes she just went, oh well, more dead people. On that occasion, she said there were the soldier put his boot on the woman's face to turn her over to make sure she was dead and give her the coup de grace in the back of the head, and she said he was so disrespectful putting his boot on her face that angered her.
The last secret agent, we're talking with Jude Dobson, and we're talking about Pippa Latour, the astonishing story. Why is the book called The Last Secret Agent?
Well, she is the very last one. She's the last of F section, as in French, of all the women who went there, 39 of them, to die. And she's actually last of all 430 men and women. So she is the last secret agent. And she was the last one to tell a story. So
She's
last
very.
in every respect. And she was almost the last out of Paris, actually. There were a couple that Nancy Wake went a couple of days after her and someone else. So yeah, she was right at the end of the war. So it seemed like a good title. I suggested it to the publisher and they said, yeah, good idea.
Well, it's true, isn't it? Yeah. Constantly on the move, often spending nights outside in forests, foraging for food, always hyper-vigilant, never trusting anyone except close companions. You could never trust anyone. And the smallest indiscretion when interrogated by Germans could be the death of you, to put it simply. Yeah.
That's correct. Yes, no, she slept rough because she didn't want to. There were safe houses, but she didn't really want to put anyone at risk. So, yeah, she and Katja basically slept in the forest. She'd wake up in the morning, make sure she'd get the leaves out of her hair so she didn't look like she was sleeping rough. They foraged for food. She got sick of turnips. Lost 10 kilos actually in all the time that she was there.
It's a
Yeah, it's pretty
movie.
hard going.
It's a movie, isn't it? The
It's a movie.
sheer scope of what she was up to. Once she was typing out a transmission back to England, and she's interrupted by two German soldiers looking for food. What does she do?
Oh, I think also might be looking for something else. If they didn't treat the woman too well there. Yeah, she said, "I've got scarlet fever." And of course, back in the day, scarlet fever was, killed kids. And in fact, I think penicillin was rolling out, but not where she was in the boondocks. And it was sort of dark and at night time, and she had her case, because the set was in a case, and it was in the ruins out the back. And so she just sort of said, "Oh, don't come close. I'm packing my bag. I'm leaving here. I've got scarlet fever. Don't come close to me. You'll catch it." And I've run out of soap, because she was known as the soap girl, or she thought that she might have sold soap to them early in the day. And they're a bit drunk, actually, too much cherry brandy, she thought, and they wobbled off out. But she also thought they might have had amorous intent, and there's that happened too. I don't think women were treated with much respect.
Well, she is raped, which she describes, which is described in the book without emotion, and also saved by a German officer as
Yeah.
well.
And then I said, "And are you happy to talk about the rape?" And she said, "Yes, I am." She said, "Oh, although we don't know his name, so maybe we can't do it." And I went, "Yeah, but Pippa, you were raped, right?" And she said, "Yes." And I said, "So really, we don't know his name?" She said, "No. Okay, right. We don't know his name. Let's tell the story." So I thought it was honourable that she thought she couldn't do it without saying names, but I reassured her that really that didn't matter.
Of course not. And the
Yeah.
Gestapo won't save her from it, but a German officer,
Yes,
he has the
correct.
he has the decency to step in
Yep.
and save her life, probably. So
Yep.
you talk about the PSD she had. She doesn't enjoy this. I mean, she's very inventive and ingenious and brave, but after it's all over, she's exhausted and her nerves are shot, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Yep. And so she went back to Africa. She longed to get back to Africa, and so that's where she went.
And she became the first female licensed pilot in East Africa.
Yes.
Great
I
stories.
know. She learned to fly a plane when she was 12, because Aunt Ada lived with Eric, and Eric was a mining pilot, so they'd go from here to there between the mines, and by the time she was 12, he'd take her for a go, and she learned to, land it.
And a lion cub she befriended as a child comes back into her life one day as a big lion and lies down beside her.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, I
Yep.
was thinking as I read this book that as we said, it would make a great film. But then again, people would think you'd thrown in all sorts of things that happened to somebody else to make it breathtaking. But it's all true.
Oh,
You know what I mean?
that's all true.
It just
Yeah,
so
it's
many
all
things
true.
happened to her, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And what I was saying, when I was sitting there in the hospital with her, actually, on the last visit, it did seem ridiculous when I had my little checklist. So we've got this story. I mean, the stories are, if you list the stories, it doesn't sound right, does it?
No,
And
they're
she was
out.
just going, "Yes, no, got that one, good, got that one, yes, good, right, good." And I said to her, "Now, you stay alive for me, won't you? We've gone through all this, we're on the last 100 yards now. You stay alive for me, won't you, Pepper?" And she goes, "I will." And then sadly, she didn't. But she did say she didn't want to be alive when it came out, so she worked that one out too.
Gee. You know, she was a person who simply didn't. I mean, most people would brag endlessly. Even if there was pain involved in the past, they would tell everybody these stories and embellish them. And she didn't want to tell any of those stories, and they're not embellished.
No, and I actually think it would suit her. I actually think now, if she was alive, she still wouldn't do the interviews. It would still be me. And yeah, no, I'm actually pleased she's not here, and that I have the capacity to be able to tell her story honestly.
I'm sure you are. And she ends up in New Zealand, let's
She
bring it
does.
home, by accident, with her children in tow and £35
Yeah.
in her pocket to her name. How does she come to be here?
Well, the husband that she married in Africa was an engineer, Paddy, and they moved to Australia because he had some work there, and then he had a contract up in Fiji. So a couple of the kids were born in Australia, a couple in Africa, and they all end up in Fiji. And he's got a bit of a wandering eye. And I think one day she'd basically had a gutsful, and she went into the office and said to the secretary, "That's it, put me on the next flight out of here." And the secretary did, and she packed up the kids and she got on the aircraft, presumed it was going back to Australia until halfway through the flight when they mentioned Whenua pie. And she thought, "Oh, that's funny, you know, Wollongong, I know all those Australian names. I don't, is that a new one?" And landed at Whenua pie in New Zealand and thought, "Right, well, what am I going to do now? I've left my husband, I've got the 4 kids and 35 pound, I'll stay." And she didn't. That was in the 1950s. And worked lots of jobs. No one ever knew what she did in her past life, but loved animals, Jim. She absolutely loved animals. When I'd go there, I'd have to make sure I was between the bird feeding sessions. Yeah, she loved animals more than humans, and I can see why.
You know, she had got the medals, and when on occasion she'd wear them, and important medals they were, like the Croix de Guerre, she wore them on the left. And one time at one ceremony, a man comes up to her saying that her husband's medals should really be worn on the right, and she doesn't stop him repinning them.
I know, I know. And he helped her repin them, and she went through all that facade. And then later on the occasion, someone had whispered to him who she was, and he came up very embarrassed. And she said, "Don't worry about it." She actually took them off. I said, "Look, let's just put them away." Yeah.
She's one of our great war heroes, isn't she, really? I think
She
she's.
is, and under the radar, just, you know, has lived in New Zealand for all these years and just quietly got on with it. Yeah, she was pretty extraordinary, Jim. Yeah, she's a pretty extraordinary woman. And it's so lovely to talk to you because, you know, having written this, you're reminding me of some of the stories because, man, they were sort of coming out quickly on the keyboard and then revised and looked at. And yeah, so it's quite, I'll enjoy reading my book now.
Yeah, look, I can recommend it to you.
Oh, good. Okay. Thanks.
The book is The Last Secret Agent, The Untold Story of My Life as a Spy Behind Nazi Enemy Lines, Pippa Latour's story with Jude Dobson. You know, you, as you say, she never had the internet or a mobile phone, and yet
No.
she had been so techie when she was young. She was across the
I know.
technology and very quick
She
to learn
was.
it all. You know, you're lucky to have known her, and it was so fortunate she came across you so that her story could be properly told.
Yeah, maybe it was serendipitous, actually. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah, I feel pretty lucky.
certainly meant to be, I would think.
Yeah.
And we came so close to never knowing what she'd done. You know,
Yeah.
a few people in the military and the RSA would have known, and the rest of us would not.
Yeah. And the other thing, actually, I found interesting was, of course, she'd set me homework because a lot of the time she didn't know what was going on the ground. I mean, she wouldn't know what time it was because she'd never watched, you know, she just woke up when the sun came up and, you know, curfews meant that you were out of the way when it was dark. But I was lucky to have a couple of trips to France last year, and I found the little village that she was in. And then I went to the neighboring village where the safe house was, and the man that had Dr. Paul Janvier had gone to that library, and he'd actually written a memoir. I mean, it was just ridiculous that I happened to be there in this tiny village, and the mayor of her village, former mayor, happened to be there. He goes there every fortnight to get his books, and my fifth form French is pretty rubbish, but the librarian, I explained what I was trying to do, and this man came up, he was in tears saying, "Oh, Paulette, yes, in our village." And that the librarian went and found this book, photocopied it for me, and that was an amazing resource because he had written about all the things that Pippa really didn't know. Like, you know, we knew where she landed. I had the SOE records, but then he would tell me all the things in and around it and her time there. So that was an amazing corroboration of facts, some of which she didn't know. So I was pleased to be able to go back and say, "Hey, did you know that was what happened then?" She goes, "Oh, I thought that's what happened. Oh, yeah, good."
So
So it was a real
they'd known,
jigsaw.
and they'd known her, they'd known what she had done.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And this man, Daniel, probably would be in his 70s, and he was a recent mayor, but that little village always all knew about her.
I bet they
Yeah.
did. I bet they did. Congratulations on the book. Are you going to do another one? Are you going to unearth some more
No, I
history now?
don't think. Well, I don't know. How many more secret agents are there left? They're all gone.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm now unemployed. I don't know what I'll do now. I'll probably take up knitting. Oh, there you go. I'll take up knitting.
Well, if you ever using codes, you know where to hide them.
I do.
Gee, what a story. Hey, thank you very much for sharing it with us. And a valuable addition, I think, to New Zealand war history with Anzac Day coming up. You know,
Yeah, and I hope this is a great resource for young people, particularly to read and hear about. It's pleased to have put it down on the record for Pippa.
indeed, and the rest of us too. We're grateful. Lovely. All right. Safe journey home when you come, and
Yes.
thanks for your time today.
Thank you.